see if Hoyer looks that way. He's looking left. Now to the middle. He's got Foster, and Foster's into the end zone. Touchdown, Houston. A 14-yard pass play. On third and goal from inside the 10. Hoyer looking right. Slings it right toward the back of the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Hopkins. He held on. Hoyer flips it to the near side for Hopkins. Wide open. Another touchdown. A 26-yard pass play, and DeAndre Hopkins with his second touchdown reception of the game. And an interception, and you're not down by 10 anymore. Andre Howe, his second interception of the day, and this one is a pick six.
Matt, I would just tell you that the guys came in at halftime, and they just felt like they weren't going to be denied today. You know, that we were going to come out and win the game, and they paid the price during the week, and give a lot of credit to Jacksonville. It's a very difficult opponent. I don't care what their record is. It's a very tough football game for us, and it was a division win on the road, which is big. I think that Brian's really handled it like a professional. He's practiced well. He's studied hard, and he's a great guy. He's a great guy. He wants to do well for his teammates, and just real happy for him. And now the trick is to do it again.
Hey, no draft talk for a week. All right. An interesting weekend all around. Let's jump right in. It's a Two Below's Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Two Below's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master, keeping us on air back in studio, buddy Aaron taking care of us out here at Two Below's. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Just find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Jong E Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday, and guess what? The Texans won.
It's a championship Monday, Fred.
That's right. They are champions of second place in the AFC South.
They are the Week 6 champions.
They are.
Of the AFC South, right?
They are the champions of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Did the Titans?
No, you know what?
Did the Titans win?
They did not.
Did the Colts win?
They did not.
Did the Jaguars win?
Well, no, because they were playing the Texans.
Who won in the AFC South this week, Fred?
It was your Houston Texans.
That means they are the champions of the Week 6 world.
Or the division.
Division.
Okay.
The division champions of the Week 6 world.
You know what they are right now? They're the champions of Florida.
They are that.
They're
what
2-0.
Team in Florida can beat them? Name me a team.
I don't know. I don't think
Florida
the Dolphins
State.
Can. Well, Florida State.
Maybe you don't think the Dolphins can?
Actually, we'll
get into that.
We'll get into that later.
I think they may lose that title next week, but we'll get into that later.
Honestly, I'm not too concerned about the Dolphins. I'm not surprised that they got a boost from the coaching change. We see that all the time. Teams come out and play completely different the first week under a new coach, and then they revert to what they are.
Yeah.
So I could see that happening, but we got plenty of time to talk about that. I'm just happy that we made a deal last week. Not you and me, but we basically said if the Texans win – no more draft talk for a week.
None for the whole week.
So
no questions about
this
what quarterbacks are
yes.
going to be available. Should the Texans look for offensive line help? Should the Texans trade their pick in the draft? None of those questions until next week.
Yeah, if they lose next week, we'll go back to it.
Yeah, we'll revert to that nonsense.
Yeah.
But until then, we're just gonna we're gonna Netflix and chill, Fred.
I like that. I like that.
I know you do. I know you do.
Hell yeah.
I'm yeah, with that. This was the this was the game. They obviously, and when you're 1-4, you know, I don't know how much a win like this matters. And we said that, you know, even before the game. If they win this, what's it really mean? Doesn't mean much. You beat another 1-4 team.
Well, that's what we talked about last week. Now you're playing your peers. Prove you're better than them.
Yes.
And they did. This was their best game of the season, I think, by far.
I do too.
In terms of what they need to do to win football games. They need to be able to run the football, and while they didn't run it effectively, they did run it 31 times,
yeah,
which is good. Now, a few of those are Brian Hoyer scrambles, but They did continue to stick with the run. They forced
even when it was ineffective, which I think is important.
It is, because you have to keep trying.
That offensive line's awful.
The offensive line actually did better in pass protection than it did in run blocking. I don't think there's any question there. Defensively, they forced turnovers. They still made some stupid penalties, including one that cost them a turnover, but they cut down on those. And they got pressure on the quarterback, all things that have not been happening. And in the end, Brian Hoyer played the game of his life. I mean, if you look at those numbers, you're not going to get that out of him every week. There's no way. And if you think you are, you're kind of fooling yourself. But that's their recipe for success, is either Brian Hoyer plays a game like that, or Arian Foster has a game where he goes nuts, and your defense forces three turnovers, you're plus three. You do that, you got a chance to beat teams like this.
Well, the difference between these two teams statistically on the night, I mean, the score is 31-20. The only real difference is turnovers.
Right.
And Jacksonville throws it away three times. The Texans didn't give it up at all.
And that's the difference.
That's the difference in the game. And,
but that's how the Texans are going to have to win. They're going to have to win the turnover battle. The defense has to get points, which they did. And not necessarily pick sixes, but just flip field position and get the right offense where they don't have to go more than 30 yards. That's how they're going to have to win, and that's what you were expecting out of this team when you invested all that money in the defense. So,
and the other thing, the Texans, and like we were talking about, the Texans' run game wasn't great, but they kept doing it. They limited Jacksonville running the football, and that was I think that's important, because you know we've seen this team just get gashed.
Yeah,
you know, and Gerhardt and Denard Robinson combined 16 carries for 45 yards.
Yeah, most of the rushing yards actually came from Blake Bortles.
Bortles, yeah. Who, by the way, even with the three interceptions, is turning into a player. Like, you can see that guy is not a scrub. He's not as crappy as I thought he was going to
be,
for sure.
Well, he's starting to get it, but the one thing about him, and we saw kind of the best and worst, he's still one of those guys, if you get pressure on him, he locks into that first guy and tends to make mistakes.
Yep.
And that's going to cost you ball games when you're not good enough everywhere else to be able to overcome your quarterback's mistakes. And Texans fans ought to know all about that.
The throw he made where he tried to wedge it into the end zone between two Texans, that's just a bonehead throw. I mean, he had some mistakes, and the pick six was obviously a mistake. But overall, you can see that guy is blossoming into something. I don't know if he's that yet, but he's getting there. He's better than I expected he would be.
He is. He's got the tools that you look for in a quarterback. I think what's missing a little bit is the pocket presence you want out of a guy who can take that next step, and that'll either come or it won't. But you know, you see flashes out of the guy. Now, having said that, you can still force him into a lot of mistakes, and that's what happened yesterday.
Andre Howell continues to really impress. I mean, that's a guy that you didn't expect anything out of, and boy, he's giving you a ton. That guy's a player.
They did some interesting things in the secondary. They had a lot of packages where Kareem Jackson was playing safety.
Safety, yeah.
Which I liked.
I do too.
Because you get Johnson on the field, who, you know, had some mistakes too, but has played pretty well. And then they rotated Andre Howell and Lonnie Ballantyne and all those guys. And I thought that all worked. But I'm not going to get too excited, because it is the Jaguars, and you're supposed to beat that team. Even if you're a 2-4 team, you're supposed to go in there and beat them. And they did. So I'm not going to – and I can see them winning the next two and getting to 4-4, and everybody's like, oh, they're back. Well, not really. I think the difference is they're playing teams that are their level. And if you can beat those teams, great. You're supposed to. But I wouldn't expect to get a 92.9 QBR rating out of Brian Hoyer ever again.
Pretty crazy that maybe the most impactful guys from that draft, that 2014 draft, so far have been Andre Howell and Lonnie Ballantyne.
Yeah.
The seventh round picks.
Yeah. Well, Ballantyne looks like he's gone for the year.
Yeah, that's rough. That was an ugly hit.
But guess who they brought back?
My boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Hard Knocks,
Mr.
Charles
Hard Knocks
James
himself.
Is back. They signed him, so obviously he's going to be replacing Ballantyne back there. I think he'll help special teams primarily, which is an area they need help. I mean, there's a lot of areas they need help.
Okay, now let's talk about the other guy in the secondary. And we've said some good things, and this is where I'll be negative for a second. AJ Bouye, listen, he got an interception. Cool, right?
Yeah.
That guy can't play.
He is playing at a very low level right now, and
he looks like rookie year Kareem Jackson, which is not that's not a compliment.
And the other negative that I'll throw out there is I thought once again they let a tight end, they blew a coverage on a tight end, and it wound up not hurting him, but
between that and A.J. Boye is not playing well, he really shouldn't be out there as much as he is. You've got other options. You've got guys who are actually functional. He's not. Even when Jackson got hurt, you know, there's other guys that you have on that bench I'd much rather see out there than A.J. Boye. And
I'd rather see J.J. Watt in the secondary.
Well, it's not like he was that great on the defensive line yesterday. Now, no. I know you've got to give him a little bit of a pass because he was apparently really sick, but he was in one-on-one almost all day yesterday and was still not J.J. Watt.
No.
And that's got to be a little bit of a concern.
Here's where I'll say let's hold on, because I think the expectation now that he's set, the bar he set last year, is realistically unattainable. You know what I mean?
Well, of course, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a guy who's making an impact. And
so you're not looking for 2 or 3 sacks a game?
No.
Okay.
No, but against the Jaguars, I would expect a sack.
I would have expected that,
too. And he missed on a couple opportunities where he got back there, and he wasn't beating the one.
He dove at some guys and came up with air.
Yeah, and he also he didn't beat one-on-one as much as I'd like to see. And like I said, obviously he was sick. He wasn't right. I'll give him that. But he needs to be better than what he is right now and what he's been doing. I mean, if he's not, if he's just a really good player, then, okay, that's all they're going to be.
I think we can end all quarterback controversy talk after this, right?
Yeah, I think Ryan Mallett's a guy.
Okay. I'll go the other way on that. I'll go with Hoyer.
You go with the guy who played yesterday. Okay, yeah, fine.
I'll go with the guy who played.
You want to be all
and
nice?
Boy, when Hoyer got knocked out of the game, Mallett, like you see him grab that helmet and he runs out there.
And he's all excited. And
then he gets pulled out of the game after one play. He thought maybe he was gonna pip his way back in to the job, but it didn't work out that way. And, you know, Brian Hoyer, who knows how messed up he was, but he got his ass back out there because he knows how quickly that job can go away.
Well, you know, I saw some quotes from him afterwards, and I think he was Hollywooding it a little bit. He was staying down longer to get the penalty call, and he didn't realize that he'd stayed down long enough to where he had to leave the game, which, you know, that's okay. I don't mind that. And it's pretty obvious you were going to get that call anyway.
Yep.
But, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got a lot more to get to. More on that game. We've got that awful, awful decision last night in the Colts game we'll get to.
Oh, my God.
Some incredible stuff from college football over the weekend that we'll get to at some point today, including the strangest finish to a game I think I've ever seen.
Definitely in the top five.
And, it's so much to get to. We're out here at Two Below's. Come join us. And don't be fooled by the front door not being open. Somebody drove a car through it. So,
whoops.
Yeah. So you just have to come in the side. But they're open. There's food. There's beer. There's beautiful women. Come on out. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
What do you have to sing about? So.
An ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We're out here at Tupelo's, 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. Come on out, hang out with us. Very cool place.
Chan says, I heard some of the broadcasters making it sound like J.J. came off his deathbed to play for the team. Of course they made it sound like that, because
of course they did.
That's the hero story. You have to play that angle. And then if he plays like a hero, it's heroic. But he didn't, so it's just like, dude.
Dude was sick and he played.
Yeah.
Pretty much it.
Yeah.
And that guy.
Load up on Pepto and get out there and make a sack.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And don't leave anything in the back of your pants while you're out there. That's all you got to do.
That would be effective, I would think.
Well, you think a guy might not want to block you if
no one's trying to hold you, for sure.
No, no. That's actually probably not a bad strategy. Matthew on Twitter says, thanks for the heads up on the Pumpkinator, guys. Managed to get some this morning. Always love the show. Yeah, I managed to score a few myself. So, And the cool thing is I know all the places downtown that the bars that serve them now. So I'll be getting my Pumpkinator fixed.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we the one thing I would say, if you're a Texans fan, you'll be happy, but it's one of those that, yeah, if you had lost this, then it's Armageddon time.
Oh,
right?
It's a total.
It's 2-14 all over again.
It's a bleep show, is what it
is. Yeah, So you got to win. You were supposed to. And if you're going to get too encouraged, the one thing I would be discouraged about, I thought the Colts played a damn good game last night.
They did. The Colts look, I mean, it's sad to say.
It's the best they've looked all year.
It's the best they've looked all season, and they lost. That said, I've been saying this for a long time, Fred, and I firmly believe this, and I feel bad for the guy because he had cancer, and it was a great story. Chuck Pagano has no business being a head coach in the NFL. He is a terrible, terrible coach, and I know you're only supposed to say nice thing about cancer survivors, but that guy needs to be fired. He's not good. And he limits that team that is already limited by a bad GM and a lack of talent and a bad owner, and he's just not good. And I don't want to say that he cost them that game last night, because really, without that pick six at the end of the first half, the Patriots probably kind of run away with that thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Amendola can't hold on to a pass.
I thought it was Edelman.
No, it was Amendola.
I thought it was Edelman.
Maybe it was. Yeah, yeah. It was Edelman. You're right.
You're getting your wide receivers confused. Yeah. Come on, man.
Edelman couldn't hold
on to
a pass.
They don't all look alike, okay?
It pops tiny slot receivers. Yeah. they throw up in the air. It hits his hands. It pops up in the air right into the hands of a defender. He walks it into the end zone. That makes the game a lot closer than it would have been otherwise. But at the end of the day, the Colts had a chance to be in that game. And not only is it just a dumb call, I can't even – I didn't really have much to say about it last night, because no part of me can even understand why you would consider that. Like, I don't understand what the thought process was that made him do that, like what the positive outcome could have been. I didn't understand it at all.
Well, let's start with, all right, if you're trying to confuse the Patriots and get an offside call or get a too many men on the field call, all right, that's fine. But there's so much wrong with this. You've got a punt returner snapping the ball to a safety who barely plays.
Yeah.
So how is he going to block anybody if you do run the play? And if you're the Patriots, you're just looking at this going, yeah, go ahead, run it, please. We'd love to see this.
Very strange.
And, of course, the whole time they were, according to some of the guys in Indianapolis, they were never supposed to snap the ball. It was just supposed to try to get an offsides or, and they'd also been working on this play for a year. For a year they've been practicing this. So forget the fact that it was kind of a dumb idea to begin with. How about that you practice this for a year and you had a bad formation that got a flag anyway?
Here's what I would say, Fred. Fred, who's the best player on the Colts?
Probably your quarterback.
Okay. If you're going to go for it on 4th-and-3, don't you want your best player on the field somewhere?
Well,
as a part of that play?
I do. And I'm not opposed.
Who doesn't?
I'm not opposed to trick plays. But that's one where you get up there, you see that alignment, you see what the Patriots are doing, you're like, okay, forget this. We're not doing it.
Dude, it's 4th-and-3. If you want to go for it on 4th-and-3, I didn't think it was a bad idea to go for it where they were on the field. I thought it was actually – it actually made a little bit of sense. But doing it the way that they did it, there's zero defense for it. You can ask Chuck Pagano why, and there's no answer he could say that would make me feel – like, he could say Jesus called in the play from the box, and I'd be
listen,
like, dude, you've got to override Jesus on that. You're the head coach. There's nothing he could say that would make me say, oh, okay,
Jesus,
I see why he did that.
Jesus is not calling that play. Come
no,
on.
Jesus is not that dumb. No,
no
way.
No way he makes
only
that call.
Only a dummy makes that call, and the only dummy out there with a headset was Chuck Pagano.
And apparently the best part of it is that Anderson was screaming at Whalen not to snap the ball. And that Bolden, who made the tackle, told everybody that. So, yeah, he was screaming, don't snap the ball, don't snap the ball. Snap the ball.
I just keep going back to you needed 3 yards, and Andrew Luck was nowhere on the field. Hmm. 3 yards. All right. Hmm. That's what you want to go. And I said this last night, Chuck Pagano, he did the Joe Flacco move where he bet on himself. He could have taken a 1-year extension. He said, nope, I'm not going to do it. And now he's sitting at 3-3, and this is the last thing in ownership's memory right now. I mean, this is a game that had they won, people would be going, oh, maybe this is a guy we will keep around. But instead, not only do you lose, but you lose, and there's a lot of stuff that happened after that play, obviously, but no one's going to talk about any of that. You lost on that play. That play cost you the game. At the end of the day, when you look at the score and you say, oh, they lost by 7 points, I wonder where they could have gotten those 7 points from.
Yeah, although let's be fair, that was a backdoor cover. They really were.
It was.
They were never going to win that football game. They played well. They played out of their minds. But I never felt like the Patriots were losing that game, even when they were down at the half.
But, Fred, if they
– But you can't give away points.
You can't give away points. And not only did they give the ball up on 4th-and-3, the Patriots instantly scored. So it's a 10-to-14-point swing automatic. You know, I mean, you just cannot lose games like that. And Chuck Pagano doesn't have enough skins on the wall to be able to afford to lose games like that.
Well, in truth, I think the thing that I would focus on is that the Colts played the Patriots as well as anybody has this year.
They did.
And they still weren't good enough. You can't make those kind of mistakes. They were gifted a touchdown on the Edelman drop, which, by the way, was Brady's first interception of the year.
Yeah. You know,
he's not playing well.
Do you know who leads the league in interceptions thrown? I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost a game all season.
Oh, yeah, Peyton Manning. Yeah.
Peyton Manning leads the league in interceptions.
Yeah, three more yesterday. And they're winning because of their defense. They're certainly not winning because of Peyton Manning. And that's why I kind of wonder if that can continue.
I don't think it continue through the regular season, but you're not beating the Patriots like that.
No, and I don't think you're beating the Bengals like that. I'm not sure you're beating. You know, there's some other teams that I think, you know, the Steelers, for instance, if Big Ben gets healthy, I don't think you beat them like that. I don't know that you even beat the Colts like that. I don't know. But we'll get to them. We need to
go around the league.
Yeah, we'll go around the league at 5 o'clock,
and we got a lot of college football to talk to.
Oh,
crazy,
man.
Crazy weekend in college football. The worst special teams week I've seen in ages, and it's all from good teams.
Yeah.
I mean, really good teams with just terrible, terrible special teams.
And we'll talk about that a little bit. I want to get to that Michigan-Michigan State game when we come back, because I don't think I've ever seen anything like that
Never.
In a football game. And it also helped some guy hit a parlay.
Oh.
But Albert was saying that Pro Football Focus had Watt as the highest-rated defensive lineman.
That's why I'm done with Pro Football.
Well,
they make things up.
And that's what I was kind of telling him. I quit subscribing a couple years ago simply because there were so many things. And I used to use it really for offensive linemen primarily. But there were so many things that I'd look at and go, wait a minute, I watched this game. This is total BS. It's impossible. So, I would have to say I would just respectfully disagree with that. I don't know what – and when they started partnering with ESPN, some weird stuff started coming out. So I just don't trust it as much as I used to. And there are times I'll look at it, but for the most part, I don't use it as a reference anymore. All right, guys, got to tell you about Tupelo's, where we are at tonight. So if you want to watch Monday Night Football, you want to watch Blue Jays Royals, it's all right here. They've got so many TVs. It doesn't matter where you're sitting, man. I love where we're set up because you can see every TV in the place. So anything that's on, you can watch. Watching some soccer right now. New Zealand losing to France 5-0. It's pretty good tail whipping. But whatever the sport is, they've got it out here. Great people, great food. I had the hamburger earlier. It was terrific. I've not had anything on this menu that wasn't awesome. And the people who work here are so friendly. Chip and his team are terrific, and they are going to take care of you. You can make this your neighborhood bar, man. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. And you can bring the family, which is cool. And it's one of those things. You're not out of place if you bring the kids. You're not out of place if you come without the kids. We love it out here, and we're out here all the time. We're here tonight. Come out and see us. A lot of Blitzers come out here. It's just a very cool place, and the wait staff here, just great, great people. They take care of you. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. You can make it your home away from home. Come on out tonight. Watch the football. Have a great time. That's Tupelo's, Tupelo's.com.
It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everything is, everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify. If someone's head off.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
There's nobody back there to field the ball.
Oh, he fumbled the ball! Now he fumbled it in the air, and it's picked up by Michigan State at the 20, the 15, the 10, and he's going to score! No time left. You've got to be kidding me. That you could not write. Michigan had the game on the line, on the foot, and Michigan State wins it with a 37-yard fumble return on a punt that is mishandled by Blake O'Neal. I don't know what to say.
Snap was low, just below the knees, and he didn't field it cleanly, and looked like then he bobbled it again, kind of kicked it a little bit, and looked like he was trying to kick it when he was in traffic, and he saw it.
And we are back on the Blitz. My goodness. In all my years of watching football, I don't remember seeing a finish like that. That was incredible. Michigan State beats Michigan on a play that just shouldn't happen. There's so many things you can do there with 10 seconds left. The only way you lose the game is if something like that happens.
Okay, first of all, I know everybody wants to blame the punter. Can we also say that wasn't the greatest snap in the world?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. That, now, that contributed, there's no question.
And my initial thought was, if you're a punter and it's that late in the game, you just fall down on the ball.
Right.
That said, they were up two, and Michigan State
puts
would have been
in field goal range.
Yeah. But at least then they've got to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
You know, the way it ended up, they didn't have to kick a field goal. You have the Michigan State call of that play, Jung?
Coming after him. Bad snap. Fumble.
Oh!
Scooped
oh!
up. Here come the Spartans. Down the sidelines. Racing into
Are
the end zone.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Racing into the end zone is Jalen.
Oh,
Watts. Jackson. Touchdown, MSU.
Touchdown.
Folks, no flags. The
no
Spartans
flags. Oh, my God.
Piling on each other in the end zone. It's over. The Spartans win again.
Oh, my God.
The Spartans win again.
George, what a call. My God. My God.
My God.
Listen, Michigan State's a pretty good football team.
They are, and they might have played their best game of the season, frankly,
yeah.
against a damn good Michigan team.
But that's a luck box win.
Of course it is.
There's no way around that. That is as much of a luck box win as you can come across. It's becoming harder and harder every week to do our top 10s, do our top 25s.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like anybody deserves to be in the top five. You know what I mean? Like, I look at these teams, and I'll say this. I keep hearing rumors that Urban Meyer's about to give JT Barrett the quarterback job. And if he does that, I bet instantly Ohio State starts to look like
Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
Until
Although
then,
they kind of did this week for the first time. They started looking like the Ohio State we're used to seeing. Still not as dominant as they were last year. But I guess a pretty good Penn State team. That's the first time this year I can say, okay, that looks like the team that won the national championship last year.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think
maybe it took them a while to get started. It did. They didn't do anything until the second quarter.
The only game I missed on colleges all day was Penn State not covering. Ohio State was impressive.
Baylor continues to look good against scrub competition, so I guess they are in that conversation.
And until they actually play a team that can take advantage of their defense, which we haven't seen yet, it's just hard to judge them. But, yes, they look as good as anybody.
Utah ends up pulling away from Arizona State. They've got the most impressive resume to date.
By far, and I think when we do our top 25 tomorrow, they're probably still number one on my list.
TCU is not a good football team. They are a good offense.
They're a good football team, but they're not a
okay,
great
football team. They're not a playoff caliber
no,
football team.
They don't belong in the top eight, frankly.
They do not. And they are going – I mean, they just are so bad on the defensive side of the ball. And I know there's been injuries and things like that.
And suspensions and everything else.
But listen, they can score, and that's gonna put them in a lot of games. I think maybe I was wrong on LSU. I said LSU is not going to be able to win anything with this kind of quarterback play. And I'm still not sold on that kid at quarterback. I still don't like a lot of what I see with him. But he doesn't turn the ball over.
And when LSU is good, that's what happens. Their quarterback,
yeah.
It's not like their quarterback, they're asking them to win games. They're asking them not to turn the ball over. They're going to run the ball like fiends, and they're going to play great defense. And I got to tell you, that's a good Florida team they beat.
That is. Even with a backup quarterback, that's an impressive win. And I think whoever won that game was instantly, to me, in the top four.
I agree.
And I move. You'll see LSU in my top four. And I actually didn't punish Florida that much for the loss.
Me either.
Because to do that without – I mean, hell, if Florida has their starting quarterback, who knows what happens.
Yeah.
Because basically you're essentially a fake field goal away
from
winning that game.
Which I'll say this, as much as we talk about some of the bad special teams play, well, that was a great call.
It was.
And LSU has done that.
Well, and
LSU
had some really bad special teams plays in that game,
too. They
did.
They did.
And that made up for it. Clemson, I think, is legit.
Clemson is legit. I'm with you on that.
Clemson has, of all the teams we've mentioned so far, I mean, as long as JT Barrett isn't playing, Clemson has the best quarterback. And that's gonna win you a lot of games. And they, you know, the Florida State game is looming, but I trust them more than I trust Florida State at this point.
I do too.
Michigan State, we've just discussed. I mean, they're winning everything. It's just, how do they look winning it? I don't know. I mean, this win is going to be impressive for their resume. And eventually, I mean, with Michigan State, just like Ohio State, it comes down to the game they'll play against each other.
Right. Right.
Alabama, who the AP has ranked eighth, I think is easily the best one-loss team.
I wouldn't have said that if Michigan had won.
I wouldn't have either.
But
they didn't.
Yeah.
But
I think, and we'll get to that game too. You cannot give Alabama 21 points.
You can't.
And have any chance of beating them. I don't care who you are.
Kyle Allen's the best quarterback that's played for Alabama since A.J. McCarron.
No question. Yeah,
I think he's got the most touchdown passes to Alabama since.
That was bad. You do that against them and do it early, and you've got no chance.
Yeah.
You have no chance whatsoever.
And they kept settling for field goals, and you can't do that, man. You got to eventually, you know.
We've seen the recipe for beating Alabama, and you air it out. You get up and down the field on them. You stretch their defense because that secondary can be taken advantage of.
You don't try to line up and bang helmets with them.
No.
And you can't give them the ball.
No. You can't give them points. And if you do that, you're going to lose. And I when I look at the rest of Alabama's schedule, I'm not sure who else is out there that can take advantage of them the way Mississippi did.
And Alabama and LSU is going to be a great game, but
that's two teams that do the same thing.
When we talk about who's got the recipe to beat Alabama, it's not a team like LSU.
Although they've done it in the past like this, 9-6 and things like that, and I think that's what it's going to wind up being. If LSU wins, it's going to be a 13-10 kind of grinded out game. But this Alabama team is not really good at the quarterback position, but everywhere else they're very good.
Yeah.
And, boy, when they start forcing turnovers like that and scoring points, it's over.
Florida State went to 6-0, probably their best win of the season against Louisville.
Tested a little bit early in that game and pulled away.
I'm still not completely sold on them.
Everett Golson hasn't thrown an interception this year.
He hasn't.
And he's played very well for them. So I think one of those two, Florida State or Clemson, is whoever wins that's definitely legitimate.
And then Stanford is the 10th team in the AP poll, and they have not lost since week one at Northwestern when they lost 16-6. And they've
been a completely different team ever since.
They got that win at USC. They got a win against Arizona, and now they just won against UCLA.
And
really,
them.
Their schedule for the next several weeks is very manageable. Washington at home. Washington State's actually pretty tough.
Washington State is
starting to look like a Mike Leach offense all of a sudden. But then you've got at Colorado, home to Oregon, and then you close out the season with home to Cal and home to Notre Dame. But Stanford may be better than what I thought they were, too. But that said, that's your top 10. And there's not one of those teams that I would look at and say, that team is definitely better than every other team in college football.
I agree. I would agree with you. In Utah, I like them a lot based on what they've done, but I could see them losing.
And really, is there any okay, let's say you make your top four and I make my top four. If we had, you know, you had four different teams than me, would that be shocking?
No.
And could there really be much of a debate? I mean, there'd be a debate, but could you really be like, oh,
no, you're an idiot. Yeah.
No.
Well, you could because you like to do that, but the truth is, no. I think you could
make a case. If you said Ohio State, Baylor, Utah, TCU, and I said LSU, Clemson, Michigan State, Florida State,
yeah,
what's the difference? I mean, you took the top four teams in the AP poll. I don't know that those are the four best teams.
Well, for the record, that's not my top four.
No. I'm just saying that's the AP poll.
No, but I think I will tell you that I can tell you what my top five is going to be. I don't know the order yet, but Utah's probably going to be number one. But I'll have Ohio State, LSU, Baylor, and Clemson in the top five.
That's my top five as well in some order.
Yeah, I haven't decided on the order yet. All right. We are going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
All right, 4:48 on the Blitz. We are at Two Belows out here on Rayford Road. If you know the spot, we're out here all the time. Come on out here today. We'll be here till 7. They'll have Monday Night Football on the TVs. They got a ton of TVs out here. They'll have the baseball on, the Kansas City-Toronto game, which looks like it's going to be a pretty solid game as well. Kansas City up 2-0 in that series, winning two home games. They'll go on the road tonight, Stroman versus Cueto in that matchup. Eagles-Giants, the Monday night game. Giants 3-2 and the Eagles 2-3. By the way, for me, Giants plus 150 is the play tonight. Frobia said Iowa should be top 10 right now, and I disagree. I think that based on being 7-0, it's hard to keep them out of the conversation. But they don't have anything on their schedule that impresses me. And that team miraculously escapes playing Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State this season somehow. And then Ryan asking if Notre Dame can get back in. And I think it'll be tough, but it's possible.
They're going to have a win over Stanford if they win out.
Yeah, they got enough bullets left on their schedule that maybe they could get into that conversation. The problem is, the three tough games that they've got left are all on the road at Temple, at Pitt, and at Stanford. And
that Temple game's not going to be any joke. I mean, that's a good football team.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm kind of encouraged by the whole AAC right now, because
it's really impressive, man. Memphis, I texted you, and I said, dude, Memphis is the truth. That team can play, and not just like play for a small conference team. That team can play. And they're number 18 now in the polls, and it, deservedly so, I would say. I mean, they didn't just like eke out a win over Ole Miss.
Yeah,
they dominated that game.
And I got to tell you, they're way too low in the AP poll for what they just accomplished and for what they've done. And let's not forget they went and beat Bowling Green at Bowling Green, which is not a sexy name program, but that's a damn good football team.
That's a tough win.
It's a tough place to go and play, and they should be in the top 15. Off of that win over Mississippi. They really should, because they dominated. I mean, and the thing about Memphis that everybody
let's hold off on that. Top 15, are they better than Michigan?
I don't know. But right now they're
unbeaten. You would rank them ahead of Michigan?
Michigan's got two losses. At this point, you know, what we're looking at is for the playoff.
Would you rank them ahead of Aggie?
Yeah, I would, actually.
You think they'd beat Aggie?
I don't know. They don't play. But okay. That's how rankings work, right? You look at body of work. We'll see how Aggie does against Ole Miss. Then you've got a reference point.
I mean, A&M has wins over Arizona State and Mississippi State. Their one loss is to a top 10 team in Alabama. I don't know if I'm ready to put Memphis ahead of them yet.
I think based on the way the committee looks at stuff, yeah, they should be ahead of A&M.
Okay. I don't know if you put them ahead of Oklahoma?
Oklahoma's a hard one for me because that's an impressive football team that happened to play just one donkey game.
Yeah. And it happens to be their big rivalry game, which happens to a lot of teams.
It does, but to be fair, when you look at Oklahoma and a school like Memphis, I think Memphis still has some impressive wins to come because there's a chance they're going to be unbeaten and Houston's going to be unbeaten when they play.
But Memphis will have no chance to – I mean, if Memphis doesn't have a chance to play two top five teams, and Oklahoma does.
Right. And that's where Oklahoma can make a difference.
Oklahoma's last three games are all against teams that are a combined 18-0 right now, Baylor, TCU, and Oklahoma State. So,
basically,
I mean, obviously, if they all win out, Oklahoma or Memphis isn't a discussion. But as of now, I could see the argument.
But if there's a two-loss Oklahoma and an unbeaten Memphis, or an unbeaten Houston or an unbeaten Temple. I think that's
yeah, – I mean, you, get into, they you are, get into a murky area for sure.
And that's going to be interesting because all those teams will have quality wins over Power 5 schools and whichever one – and then they'll have wins over the other ones. Assuming one of them runs a table, which is a lot to ask because Navy's still sitting out there and they don't suck. That's going to be a difficult game for somebody. But if you have Houston or Memphis unbeaten and Temple unbeaten playing for the AAC championship,
yeah.
You're going to be talking about teams that have quality wins. This isn't the schedule Marshall had last year.
They've
played real teams.
No, that conference is impressive, man. I mean, between Temple and Houston and Memphis and Navy, like you mentioned, there's a lot of tough games to be played in that thing.
If you get Temple has a win over Notre Dame, you don't think that's going to – a win over Notre Dame and Penn State?
Oh, that's serious bullets, man.
Yeah, and it's not the same as playing even in the Big 12 because you're right, OU's going to play two top five teams and Oklahoma State, by the way, who I think is pretty damn good.
And UH gets a bye week this week against Central Florida.
Yeah, but you didn't
– still is giving out free beer, right?
Yeah, they're still giving free beer. I can't imagine –
that bar is going to go under.
And I got to give that conference credit because, you know, the UH goes out and hires Tom Herman. Memphis goes out and gets Fuente, who, by the way, I'm kind of glad to see that win because now people will be after him more than they will Tom Herman. I'm all for that. But you know, you've got some really good programs in that conference that now you've got enough good ones where you can. It's not like Boise being in the Mountain West where you had one or two teams
right.
to beat. And by the way, how phony was Boise? I was saying that all along. You guys were laughing at me.
No, I wasn't laughing at you. That team got not just beat, they got hammered.
Well, you turn the ball over eight times. I don't care who you are. You're not winning.
Yeah.
But
six times by half.
Yeah.
Six turnovers in the half.
But I think it's interesting, and it'll be really cool if both Memphis and Houston are unbeaten when they play here because that would I think that'd be a pretty high-profile game for that conference. And honestly, Memphis last year, their defense was terrific, and offensively they weren't very good. Boy, they fixed that. That's a good offense.
Yeah.
And that kid can play quarterback.
I think the team that may end up throwing some wrenches into the deal is Toledo.
Yeah.
Because Toledo, listen, the AAC is better than the MAC, but if Toledo runs a table – and any of those AAC teams loses,
right? Then they're going to get
Toledo's
it.
Toledo's ahead of them.
Yeah,
I mean, they're like the MAC isn't so much worse than the American Conference that they're going to be like, oh, well, a one loss American team is better than an undefeated
right.
MAC team because you got to remember Toledo played at Arkansas
and won
there. They beat Iowa State, which
is going to be comparable to UH's resume of beating Louisville and theoretically Vanderbilt.
Yeah, so. I mean they've got two Power Five wins, and you know that they're going to have to play Bowling Green. You know they've got games on their schedule. That Central Michigan's not an easy game.
No,
Northern Illinois is not an easy game. Western Michigan to finish the season is not easy. But if they run the table, that's a team that's going to get in. I think because they don't have to. Memphis isn't going to have to play UH or Toledo's not going to have to play Memphis. They're not going to have to play UH. They're not going to have to play Temple. They're in a spot where being in a lesser conference is actually going to end up helping them, it looks like.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that a one-loss AAC team would not get in over an unbeaten Toledo.
And
nor should they because they've done everything you've asked them to do. We ask them to beat Power 5 schools, they've done
that.
We ask them to win their conference, they've done that.
Yeah,
well, they haven't yet, but they will have.
This is the first time in a while, and there's four of those teams, Memphis, Toledo, UH, and Temple, that are all ranked in the top 25 right now. And I don't have a problem with any of them being there.
No.
And normally, you know, I say,
get those guys out of there.
Let's be serious.
But every single one of them has a win over a quality opponent.
Yep.
And that's what you look for, right?
Because if you're 5-1 and your one loss was to the one good team you play,
yeah.
I just can't take you seriously in that conversation. But all of these teams have gone out of their way to play games. I mean, Memphis playing Ole Miss and winning. Dude, that's a feather in the hat that a good team, you know, like if a team playing for a championship is going to look at the end of the season and say, oh, well, we beat Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big win.
Hey, I want to let you know, join us for Monday Night Football at Two Below's on Rayford Road in Spring. We're here for happy hour until 7. Then the Eagles take on the Giants for Monday Night Football. I like the Giants a little bit tonight. So it's down to +3.5, but I like the Giants.